Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Once a year, we have this great day where we, you know, we go out and we cheer for the Irish. Everyone's Irish today. And many, many, many people wear green. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's a bang-up day, and here in Key West, Florida, the people, the tourists, and the locals are partying together big time. Duval Street is running green. Green beer in every bar on Duval Street today. Every restaurant is serving corned beef and cabbage. Streets are closed off, not Duval Street, but other streets, side streets that normally are not closed off, that have tables and chairs and people sit there and they drink or they eat corned beef and cabbage. So it's a big celebration day. It started about 10 o'clock this morning. It's still going on right now, and it'll probably continue going on until 1 in the morning. This has been a hell of a week. It's the only way I can describe it. A lot of big things happening, the biggest thing being Iran. And I'm going to start the show by discussing a fellow by the name of Tom Cotton. Tom Cotton. Now, if you don't know who Tom Cotton is, let me tell you. And if you do know, you're going to be shocked at some of the things I'm going to share with you this evening. Again, I will be spending about half this show talking about Tom Cotton. Well, he looks like a kid if you see him on television. He talks crazy. He sounds like whenever he's on TV that he memorized what he's saying. If someone stops him, he'll be lost and has to go back to the beginning again. This is the man that last, he wrote the letter, last week, that 46 Republican senators signed besides him, and the letter was sent to Iran saying, in effect, don't trust the president, he doesn't have the power to make an agreement like this, et cetera, et cetera. And terrible what he did, but he did it. Now, you got to understand why he did it, because and you've got to know who he is. He's a strange duck. It's the only way I can describe him. And I'm going to go into the way this guy thinks and the money behind him. That's what it is. That's what everything is, my friends. He's successful right now. He's considered successful because of the way he thinks, because he believes everything he says. He isn't the typical politician that speaks out of both sides of his mouth, and you really don't understand where he stands. No question where Cotton stands. He is to the far right. He is a Tea Party type conservative. No question again. He's being groomed for president. That's what I want you to keep in mind. Nobody talks about this on television. I am telling you, and I don't think I'm sticking my neck out. This man is a comer. He's being groomed for president by the far right. He's 37 years old. When he sent the letter to Iran last week, he had only been a United States senator for 61 days. That's all. Today, I think he's only a senator for 69 or 70 days. And they're talking about him. He was a one-term congressman, 2 years. That's all. He's from Arkansas, by the way. Harvard College and Harvard Law. Did 2 tours of duty in Afghanistan and Iraq. Volunteered for the second tour of duty. He was a fighter. He wasn't sitting on his ass someplace. He was out there leading his platoon or his group, and he was carrying a gun, and he was actually fighting each time. He's married, has 2 children. You can tell who a person is by the way they think. Not how they look, really, but how they think. So I'm going to go through his background and some things that might indicate his thought process. When he was a senior at Harvard, he had to write a senior thesis. And this is what he said. He said the elite, the big shots in the country, the elite should govern because people are inherently selfish, narrow-minded, and impulsive. In effect, you can't trust the people to govern themselves. Only the big shots of the world can govern. He also indicated that he believed only intellectually superior persons should rule the country. This is one of the conclusions he drew in his Harvard thesis. Only intellectually superior people should rule the country. While he was at Harvard, he had a professor by the name of Harvey Claflin Mansfield, very popular in the conservative right movement. This man is the educator for anyone who wants to understand the conservative way in depth. He's the big analysis man. He understands it. He teaches it. Well, Mansfield was one of Cotton's professors, and Cotton fell under his influence. And obviously, Cotton developed into a conservative at that time. You've all heard of William Crystal. He's the ultra-conservative. He's got a magazine, Big Weekly Standard. You see him on television, on talk shows. Ultra-conservative, this man, a neocon also. And he had also studied under Professor Mansfield, however, years earlier. Somewhere along the line, Cotton and Crystal got to be friends, very good friends. And Crystal became Cotton's advisor and mentor. Now, you know where some of his thinking comes from also, first from the professor, then from Crystal. Let's talk about the Constitution and how he thought about that and the things he wanted to do with it. When he was a congressman, which is what, last year, he introduced a bill that wanted to get rid of the prohibition against attainder. The prohibition against attainder. Now, who ever heard of attainder? Attainder is this very simply. When our founding fathers put together the Constitution, they were concerned that whoever the government was, that government legislatively could say, if you do this particular thing, it is wrong, it is a crime, and you are automatically guilty. You are not entitled to a trial. You're not entitled to have a judge or a jury. You go to jail. You take the punishment because your government says that is wrong. And it's because you did it, because you're accused, it's deemed that you have committed that. He wanted to get that out of the Constitution. Absolutely. That's what his bill was intended to do. It didn't go anywhere, but that tells you the way this guy thinks. No trial if you're accused of a crime, and the legislature has the right to say, if you do this, it's a crime, but not only is it a crime, you're automatically guilty. Not the American way, or at least I don't think it is. Let's talk about William Crystal again for a moment. Who are his people behind him? I'm going to talk about money now. In the last weeks of his Cotton Senate campaign, and this was last November, what, 3-4 months ago, in the last weeks of his Senate campaign, Crystal formed a committee called the Emergency Committee for Israel. The Emergency Committee for Israel. All this has to do, by the way, with these nuclear meetings. And in those last weeks, through the Emergency Committee for Israel, Crystal gave to Cotton's campaign $1 million. You don't think this guy's a comer? They gave him $1 million, but that's not all. Then there's Sheldon Gary Adelson. Big money. He's a benefactor here. No question a benefactor of Cotton's. Loves Cotton. Cotton loves him. Big, big money. He has casino ownings in Las Vegas. He's a business magnate worldwide. He is considered the 8th richest man in the world. Good guy to have supporting you. The 8th richest man in the world. He is estimated to be worth $36.4 billion. He also happens to own a newspaper in Israel. He owns the Israel HaYam. It's a daily newspaper, the Israel HaYam. And he also is strongly against any agreement or any deal with Iran because he believes that Iran cannot be trusted. Maybe they can. I don't know. Iran cannot be trusted, and we're going to have a war, so don't make any deal with them. They're going to cheat and make that bomb anyhow. And let's get ready and let's go to war with them and get them, you know, knock them off the face of the map. This is the way this guy thinks. And this is the way Cotton thinks. Now, some other things he did while he was in Congress. Remember Hurricane Sandy? Destruction. to the beaches of the Northeast, at the Middle East, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New York. Terrible. Needed money. People were desperate. We saw it all on TV. Houses down, houses floating away. Looks like somebody dropped a nuclear bomb on some of the towns. Everything is to ground level now. Well, he did not vote for that bill. He did not vote for that bill to support the victims of Hurricane Sandy. And because, and you know what he said? I don't think Arkansas needs to bail out the Middle East, the Middle East being the Middle East states on the Atlantic. I don't think Arkansas needs to bail out the Middle East. Boy, let me tell you something. We're all supposed to be, every state, we're supposed to be brothers and sisters. That's the way I'm describing it. And you help each other out in the family when there is a problem. And we are a family. But he says, no, you're headache. You take care of it. Don't bother me. The people I represent should not and are not going to help bail out the victims of Hurricane Sandy. Now, let's talk about the Iranian letter. I told you I was going to spend some time on this guy because I think it's important for us to know who he is and understand where he's coming from because, again, I'm going to say it, this man's a comer. Cotton, the letter to Iran, he signed it. It was his coming out party. Now, a letter of this importance, the 46 other Republican senators join him and sign it, okay, has to mean this guy has some drag. He has some influence with his other senators, 46 of them. How did he get it? He got it because the powerhouse of the Republican right support him. They like the way he thinks. Not only do they have his personal support, their personal support, he has their money. And they are getting on board. They're getting on board early on with him, okay? He's an emerging star. And I'm not making these terms up. If you read about him, you're going to find these terms where I describe him are in these articles. He's an emerging star for the conservatives. Also, in addition to being a star for radical right thinking, Cotton Tea Party type thinking. He's also a neocon. You know what a neocon is. We have congressmen, we have senators, they always want to go to war. They think we are the strongest country in the world, strongest nation in the world, and one thing, when something's bad, we got to throw the strength of our armed forces into that country and beat the hell out of whoever's causing the problem. Okay? And they believe this. They don't say, let's negotiate. You want to avoid war, but not at any cost, I agree. But the first thrust is to avoid war if you can. People get killed, maimed, died. These guys don't want to negotiate. They're called neocons. Cotton has been described as a meteor neocon, a meteor neocon, a hawk. And there is one article that describes him as being a person that loves war too much. A person that loves war too much. Send a chill up your spine. He is a child of the military-industrial complex. We're talking about the rich again. You know, the corporations that make the guns, the airplanes, the tanks, etc. He belongs to them. Because being a neocon, the more we're in war, the more money these corporations are going to make. You have to realize that there was a time for about 2 years before ISIS came around last year where the wars were toning down. Iraq, Afghanistan, all that sort of stuff. And so these military industrial corporations weren't making as much money as they were accustomed to. They are obviously against any Iranian agreement because if we have to go to war, get ready to go to war with Iran, they're going to make a ton of money. And he thinks their way because he's a neocon. He believes you go and fight, you don't negotiate. Well, we know that the failure of the Iran talks could ultimately mean war. And we need Iran. We got to settle this because we don't want a war, and I don't think they want a war. They have you know, these aren't Arabs riding on camels in Iran. They have modern cities as we have in the United States. They may have an Ayatollah. They may have the religious people running the government. We see are people in robes, but people dress like we do over there. All right, people dress as we do. Even though they, you know, they're Muslims, they still have a good time and they dress as we dress and they think good. They think they're thinking people. That's what I want to say. Everyone agrees that unless Iran is on board with other nations such as the United States, the problems in the Middle East will not be settled. We're not going to settle them by war. These countries have all been fighting each other for hundreds of years, and they haven't gotten any place. It needs a political solution, and everyone agrees, it seems, that can't get it without Iran sitting in. So, but he's against it. He's against it. He wants Iran. He wants us to go over and fight Iran. Now, why does cotton bother me? There are other people who think like this in the Congress. Tom Cruise, very impressive speaker. I heard him for the first time this morning on Morning Joe. I didn't agree with what he said, but I was very impressed with his delivery, and I could sense how he was rousing people. I said to myself, wow, this guy knows how to get it across. Even Mika and Joe were tongue-tied. They couldn't ask their questions. This guy just rolls, and nobody stopped him. All right. He bothers me, Cotton. He worries me. And you know why? He believes in what he says. When he says, legislature should say this is a crime and you have no right to trial, we just put you in jail for X number of years, that isn't healthy thinking. He thinks like a Mansfield-taught conservative from Harvard. His training, not only educationally, has made him what he is. He has become a spokesman for the rich and the powerful. He's a spokesman for the rich and the powerful. And again, when the time comes and he takes a shot at the presidency, he's going to have the right people behind him, the people with the money, because he dances to their tune. But I don't think it's their tune he's dancing to. It's his tune also. Because, again, the danger in this man is that he really believes what he's saying. Most politicians don't believe what they're saying. They talk out of both sides of their mouth. But this man's like a deeply religious person. He believes. Let me close on Cotton with this. An article last week, after the Iran letter went out, described Tom Cotton as the most powerful man in Washington, the most powerful man in Washington. You say, how the hell can he be the most powerful man? 37 years old, a senator, 61 days, nobody ever heard of him. What's going on? Well, again, this is repetitive, and I apologize, but he says the right things, and he's got the right people behind him. He's got the mega bucks behind him, and he's part of that Tea Party group. He's part of that far right group. And again, I've got to say as an example, 46 experienced senators signed on to this kid's letter, as I thought initially. I'll never call him a kid again. This guy, he's a thinker that a certain group of people in this country want, and they're going to support him. And already he's a powerful man because these people see that this guy's going to be somebody real big because the real big guys are behind him. And that's my tale tonight. That isn't the whole show, but it took me 20 minutes. That's the tale of Tom Cotton. Again, I believe it is something the American people should be aware of. It is not discussed it isn't discussed at all in the media. You have to search for articles that have been printed in the last week. And that's the way it is. And we've got to be on our guard when people like this come onto the picture and come on so rapidly. I want to talk about Venezuela. I've been talking about Venezuela. Oh, by the way, before I get to Venezuela, my column this week in Conk Life, which is published tomorrow, it's a weekly newspaper in Key West, is published tomorrow, is about Tom Cotton. I titled it Making of a Star. And what I've told you here is in that article plus more. All right? And if you have the opportunity to read it, please do. Well, let's go to Venezuela again. I've been talking about Venezuela for 2 or 3 years on my TV show. I did it. I did it on my radio show. I do it on my radio show. I've done it in writing on the blog. I've done it in writing in my newspaper columns. Venezuela was okay under Hugo Chavez. But again, we wanted democracy. And Hugo Chavez, we supported the group that was against Hugo Chavez. Well, Chavez is gone now. He's dead. And that new group, today, their president, who has been president for about 2 years, is Nicolas Maduro. Maduro. He is a total, absolute failure. I have been saying, I don't know why the people of Venezuela keep him in office. If there ever should be a revolution, it should be in Venezuela. He's the guy that first ran out of toilet paper. Can't get toilet paper in Venezuela. He ran out of milk. No milk for babies. No diapers. They've run out of diapers. They've run out of condoms. Don't laugh. Condoms are important because there's an HIV epidemic in Venezuela. They've run out of everything. And what does Maduro do? He's got brass testicles, this guy. It's the only way I can describe it. He goes before his people, and he blames it on the United States of America. They did this to us. They did that to us. Just the way Castro did it for 50 years. And his people seem to believe him. He just had a rally, I think it was yesterday, in a square someplace in Venezuela. 10,000 people. You had to see the mass. And what was he saying this time? You recall, I told you in the last couple of months, Maduro's been saying that Vice President Biden was planning a coup of his government, and Obama didn't know it. But Maduro, he was going to make Obama aware of it, hopefully to put a stop to it. What a crock, okay? Last week, he arrested several Americans. One of them was an official of the embassy, an American pilot, rather, I'm sorry. And he arrested these Americans, and he found papers on them, he claims. They're in jail down there in Venezuela now. They had papers on them proving that the United States government was preparing a coup against his government. They wanted to overthrow him. These people were participants in this game, okay? Well, Obama, I think it was Thursday, Friday, after our people were arrested and we asked that they be released, you got seven or eight Americans down there that have been arrested. Let them out. There's nothing wrong. Maduro said no. So Obama issued an executive order sanctioning not the people of Venezuela, not the government of Venezuela, but seven leading political leaders, one of them being Maduro, seven politicians, because these guys got money. These gentlemen, these people running the government, the profits from the oil that Chavez used to send to the people are now going to their pockets. And so he says, hey, we're going to sanction you guys. And so what did he do? He went to his people yesterday. Maduro went to his people yesterday, and he said, you must give me the power to make decrees. And the people, his National Assembly, which is their Congress, gave Maduro decree-making powers as regards defense and security. The only people I recall in recent history having the extreme powers he has been given was Hitler. We're Hitler and Mussolini, okay? He talks war with the United States. We're not even thinking about war up here with him. He talks war. They're going to attack us. I have to protect you. I have to protect our country. And now he can do anything he wants. He doesn't need a vote from his Congress. He just does what he wants by decree. He can say, these people, these 50,000 that belong to this club, in jail. I don't trust them, and I'll put them in jail, and they won't come to trial for 5 years, if they ever come to trial. Do you see where he's going, the power he's got? And I cannot understand, again, how his people keep thinking, because they appear to be on his side. that we are going to invade Venezuela. Which now brings me to something a bit lighter. Last year, the woman who won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress was Lupita Nyong'o. I'm sorry, I pronounced her name incorrectly. And she came out this year to give an award to someone at the Academy Awards a couple of weeks ago. And it was pointed out during the show while she was getting ready to make the award that this beautiful dress she was wearing cost $150,000. It's claimed that there were 6 million genuine pearls sewed onto this dress worth $150,000. Before the show started, she was interviewed out on the red carpet, and again, the dress was described and discussed, $150,000, all these pearls. Well, she stayed over in the hotel, and it just so happens that last week, someone stole the dress from her room. Yes, someone stole the dress from her room. Everybody's excited. We got to find the dress. My God, $150,000 dress stolen. Came out of the closet. It was hung in the closet. Well, whoever stole it brought it back 2 days later and left it in the closet. They got into a room twice, and nobody knew about it. And they took the dress out the first time, and the second time they put the dress back in, and they issued a statement. The reason they returned the dress was because those weren't real pearls. They were all phonies. And the dress was not worth $150,000. It was not even worth stealing. The euro. The euro's getting destroyed. And this is good for Europe. The euro union has destroyed Europe. 19 nations, 15, 17 years ago, started this Euro Union. We all have to have the same money. Only Great Britain didn't go for it. And they all use the same dollar now, the Euro. The Euro's been strong, I got to tell you. It's been stronger than our dollar, okay? Stronger than our dollar, much stronger. But with the problems going on in Greece and the anticipated problems, if Greece is successful, in Italy, Spain, Portugal, well, the dollar's dropping in value. And for the first time, the United States dollar is almost equal in value to the euro. As of today, the euro is worth $1.05 to our American dollar. If this trend continues, our American buck's going to be worth a lot of money. I mean, they'll go up, our American dollar's going to be worth $1.40, $1.50. And this summer could be a cheap trip to Italy, my friends. It could be a cheap trip anywhere in the country, in the European nations this summer, because your American dollar is going to have a big bang to it. I remember many years ago, 35 years ago, I took two of my daughters, and my son and my parents. We went to Italy for a whole month. We had a villa outside of Rome. In those days, you took those checks, money orders or whatever. They weren't money orders, whatever. They were cashier's checks, and you cashed them at the banks or an American Express office. At that time, they had the lire in Italy, not the euro, and the American dollar was worth 2,100 lire. Every American dollar was worth 2,100 lire. You have no idea, a whole month, how cheap that trip was. Well, that's the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. I apologize for taking so long with regard to Tom Cotton, but we've got to start paying attention to these people. We can't let them sneak up on us. We must understand who does what and why. We must look behind to see. This show, as you know, is archived by Black Talk Radio. It's also archived on YouTube, and you can get it on Facebook. As part of my Facebook, my Key West Lou Facebook page, the navigation bar on top, second one in from the right, second one in on the right, hit it, and you got my most recent show to listen to if you are so inclined. I wrote a book again, The World Upside Down. If you like the show, please buy it, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. If you don't like this show, forget about getting the book. You will not enjoy it. Thank you again for joining me. I look forward to being with you next week.